everyone. Welcome to another episode of Retro Rewatch, the show where we rewatch retro TV shows. So when I say we, of course, I always mean my podcast compadre. I'll call you that today, Jeff Gammett.
Awesome.
How are you doing?
Because we're here together, and this is always so much fun, I'm doing great.
That is awesome. Yeah, and I'm Patrice, by the way.
And Patrice, how are you?
I'm also doing great. It's a good week. I don't know. It's just a good week. So we're recording a podcast together. Life can only be good.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. And today we are still in Stargate SG-1. And we've reached the point of no return, aka season 4, episode 11, point of no return. Yeah, this is the point of no return for this podcast. No, I think we reached that a long time ago.
You know, I'm pretty sure we were there by episode 3.
Yeah, I think so. Yes, and especially like when you got hooked on Stargate, like that was the point of no return. Yeah. Anyway, point of no return. So we're in the middle of season 4 now. So this is literally middle of the season. It's literally 22 episodes-ish. Yeah, so it's at least pretty consistently been 22 episodes. The first 4 seasons were anywhere ordered. More or less all together. Like by the time the pilot aired, we had a 4-season commitment already. It's a good point. I don't know. It's probably not the strongest mid-season that we've seen, but it's probably also not the weakest. So it's a good episode, I think. I have some production notes as usual. So let's start with the obvious. Air date, September 8th, 2000 in the United States of America.
Okay.
On Showtime still. And August 8th, 2001 in Germany. So that's when I would have watched it. And Jeff did not watch it on September 8th because Jeff watched it last couple days.
Yes. Yep.
So,
And it's definitely not September.
It's definitely not September. No, definitely not. We have an IMDb rating. We talked about that last episode, I think. 7.6 for this one. Yeah, still a mystery how those ratings get. Like come together. Why was the last one, I think, 7.4, and this one is only 7.6, but whatever. It's just IMDb ratings. We have a writing credit by our new dynamic duo, Joseph Malozzi and Paul Mully. Talked about that. That's probably the third script, I think. Something like that. And a directing credit, a new director. Talk about that in a second. Well, not really new because he's directed stuff before on SG-1.
New for SG-1.
Not even new for SG-1. New for this season. William Garrity. Oh. Because so far, it's been Martin Wood and Peter DeLuise the entire season.
Oh my God, I didn't even realize. Although I should have.
It was only those two. And now we're finally in the middle of the season. I guess they got either too busy or burned out or whatever, or just had something else going on.
Or someone said, give me a chance.
Exactly. Could also be, yeah. So it's not one of those two. Guest stars, we have a few very notable characters this time. I think two of them you recognized, at least.
I did, yes.
Yes. So let's start with Martin Lloyd, played by Willie Garson. I talked about him briefly at the end of the last episode when I mentioned to you that he was in this episode. He is American, so not Canadian. He's known for his role as Stanford Blatch on HBO's Sex and the City. So he was actually on Sex and the City when SG-1 was shot. He appeared in Seinfeld as the neighbor on the street, in Nip Tuck, in Monk, in Glee, Desperate Housewives, The West Wing. We will see him again on this very show on Stargate.
Oh, good. That actually at least partially addresses one of the concerns that I had.
Yeah.
With this episode.
Yeah. So I'll tell you this much because I usually mention if someone is never Like it's a one-time thing, or we don't see them again. In this case, yeah, he will be back. I think part of the reason is that he did such a good job in this episode that they kind of wanted him back.
Oh, he was fantastic.
He was fantastic. Then we have Dr. Peter Tanner, the psychiatrist, is played by Robert Lewis. Might have recognized him from The X-Files, from The Outer Limits, or from Due South.
I recognized him, but I couldn't place from where. So I'm guessing it was from The X-Files.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I mean, okay, they get around. Then we have Ted, played by Matthew Bennett. He's like one of the other aliens, appeared in Stargate Atlantis later on, and The Listener. Yeah, not so memorable, I would say. We, of course, have Terrell Rothery as Janet Frazier. Small role, but we know her. We have Bob, that's the fourth person in the crew. Well, the third, actually, because one more is missing. He is also one of the deserters. And did I miss the guy from Battlestar Galactica? Yeah. I did, yes.
Yeah, our Cylon is missing.
Our Cylon. I think that was... Wasn't that Matthew Bennett? See, now he got me questioning. I missed that because I thought I had that in my document, but now I'm not seeing him. Anyway, I'll finish that and I'll look it up in a second. We have Bob, Mar Andersons, also is Canadian, and we have Technical Sergeant Clark Peters and Francis Boyle. We saw him in X-Files and in the 4400. I'll have a quick look, because I'm sure that I missed them. I think it's Matthew Bennett. Yeah, Matthew Bennett is the Cylon. I knew that. So he's also, I think, most memorable, one of the Cylons.
Yeah.
On Battlestar Galactica.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember which number he was.
I don't remember which number he was, but he was devious.
Oh, he was, yes. Yeah, he is number five.
Okay, always number had five. His nice suits.
Mm-hmm, I always had his nice suits, and he was definitely very, very devious. Yeah, I don't know, I missed that in this here. But as I said, he's also in Stargate Atlantis later on, and The Listener. Those are the guest stars.
Cool.
I have some background information.
Okay.
So this is one of Joseph Malozzi's favorite scripts, and I'm probably butchering his name still, but that's just me. He said he's in one interview on YouTube, like, it's one of the scripts he's the most proud of because it is the closest with the original vision that he had. You know, scripts and ideas often go through a lot of iterations and stuff gets changed for myriad reasons, production, money, actors, input, sometimes just doesn't work out the way you want it, or you don't have the right idea to actually make it a reality. So it's pretty normal that the idea that you originally had is not what actually ends up on screen, but in this case, apparently it did.
That's cool.
It's also inspired heavily by real life Stargate conspiracy believers that were a thing at this point already, right? We were four seasons in.
Seriously?
Yes.
No. Oh my God.
There's of course, it's the internet. What do you expect? There's websites that treat Stargate as a cover-up. Like, that basically, it's basically real and they're just pretending it's not. It's a show and whatever.
I suppose an argument, and I'm not supporting this conspiracy theory because seriously, people, but if you want to hide something like this, if it were real, the best way to do it would be to have it out there and have it debunked because it's a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, and I think that's also the inspiration for this. So that's where this idea came from. They wanted to explore how ordinary people would react to discover, like if they discovered government secrets. So it's kind of, I mean, Martin is, well, turns out not to be an ordinary person. But yeah,
on so many levels,
yes. But it's kind of like he's stand-in for, okay, what if we were to discover that this really is real? Like, so yeah, it was an interesting thing. I already mentioned the debut of our director, so I'll skip that. This is the first episode where we get a new alias, like a public alias that Tilk uses. On the show.
Yes.
Like, I mean, now he's known as Murray.
I love the whole Murray thing in this episode.
I found no information where this came from. Like, whether this was something that Richard Dean Anderson just made up, or the writers, for what reason, did they just pick a random name out of a hat, or like, how did that come to be? I didn't find any reliable source for why Murray is that, like a reference to something or whatever, but
it's, you know, if it's not a reference, then it's someone who has the foresight to be able to see that using that name throughout this episode would just be really funny.
Yeah.
Because, and, you know, there's moments like where Martin, he's like, "Oh, Murray," and just the way he's interacting with Teal'c and calling him Murray.
Yeah.
It's just funny. It's great.
Yeah. And I think that's also why this name stuck, because we will see this being used in the future.
Okay.
So that's why I want to mention. There's a last reference or a last parallel that we have here. The original 1951 classic sci-fi movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still, is thematically similar to this, especially the theme of an alien seeking contact with humanity.
Okay.
And there is a little Easter egg that you did not catch in this episode.
Well, I'm looking forward to you pointing it out.
Yes.
But I think I'm starting to vaguely remember it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But I'll hold on to that thought until we get to that part.
Yeah. I have a couple more things, but I'll mention them when we get to that point in the episode. But the storyline has some parallels to The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Okay.
Some. All right. Should we just jump in?
I think we should.
Okay.
I'm much more enthusiastic about this episode than last one.
I should ask you, did you get up again and like make dinner or
I something? Never left the couch.
Good. Okay. Then it must have been a good episode.
when we got to the end of the of the teaser, I thought, oh, I should pause this and make popcorn because that would be fun.
Yeah.
And I just skipped over the credits and kept watching.
Skip. Yeah, I can tell you I did get up and get something else, but it was like, I mean, that's my normal level of like, yeah, ADHD. It was not the heightened, I cannot focus on this level. Yeah. So we start this time in our favorite room in SGC.
You know, why not cut to the chase? Exactly. Instead of giving us a little teaser thing where then we have to go to the exposition room, why not just start right there and exactly. get it out of the way?
Yes. So we have SG-1 there. They were all asked to be there from various personal things they were doing. There's a mysterious meeting. They don't know anything about it. All of them were doing important things. Like Carter's like, oh, I was doing that, and Daniel was like doing the other thing, and Jack was like, I was also in the midst of doing something important. Like, but he doesn't really say what. It's just like, everybody else had really important things to do, and he's like, I was also doing something important. I'm wondering what he was doing.
reading, he was not
reading a comic book or something.
Yes,
or
that's probably more
sitting
likely.
Sitting in the bathroom reading a comic book or something like that.
Eating a slice of pie.
Yeah, it could also be. No, Fruit Loops.
Fruit Loops. Yes.
Maybe he's gone back to Fruit Loops. Who knows? So Hammond comes in and he's like, well, yeah, we got a call on the base switchboard. And yeah, there's a recording and you should listen to that. And turns out it's a guy. And he's like, whatever. He mentions Jack O'Neill by name.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a lot to say. There's a really funny skit that Hammond did. Dennis Davis did, where he advances the tape, like literally tape recording still, right?
Mm-hmm.
90s, late 90s. He advances the tape and Martin just keeps rattling off like conspiracy theories and whatever. And he's like, oh yeah, he got way more to say. And he just goes further forward and whatever. And it's like this whole thing is like, yeah, he was basically talking for a long time about like a random, long time about random shit. And I mean, none of that would be super remarkable because, you know, conspiracy nuts probably do shit like that. I don't know. At least in shows they do. But at some point, like Hammond, like finds the right place, and it's like, and then the person we then later know is Martin here, not identified. It's like, but he says, but the point is, none of these compare to your secret kernel. I'm talking about a large circular object discovered in Egypt and currently residing at the bottom of a missile silo on a Cheyenne mountain. I believe you call it a Stargate. And now that I have your attention, I want to meet tomorrow, 11 a.m. at the new Cloverleaf restaurant in Billings, and Colonel, come alone. So, all of that to simply drop the really important message at the end. And that's also why Hammond even got interested, because I think otherwise they would have just been like, whatever.
Yeah, just another nut.
Just another nut. That is interesting, and they're wondering, like, has base security been breached somehow? Has that secret that they've been keeping for, well, the last couple of years, actually decades if we really count all of it, been, like, is it out there? So Hammond is like, well, you're leaving tomorrow to figure out what's going on. Right, and since he named Jack personally, Jack and the team will have to go, right?
Yep. Jack does not look happy about the whole thing.
No, he's like, he was doing important stuff, so he doesn't want to go to middle of nowhere.
Yeah, that pie's not going to eat itself.
Exactly. Yeah. So that is our teaser. I don't know what you were thinking when you saw that. I mean, you just mentioned, like, you were thinking, oh, I need popcorn.
But then I just skipped ahead past the credits and kept watching.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the whole thing about the over the top conspiracy theory person,
mm-hmm.
and I really enjoyed the way they presented it with the cassette tape and having to fast forward and fast forward and fast forward, and Don Davies doing just an amazing job, with his deadpan delivery of really funny lines.
Yes, yeah, he is really good.
Yeah, and so when we get the big reveal, this guy knows about the Stargate.
Yeah,
then it's like, okay, so what sort of a game are we playing here? Mm-hmm. Because the guy knows the name. So how does he know it? Is there a leak? Are they going to find some sort of espionage thing happening? How does this guy fit in? I was interested in seeing where we were with this. Going.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, also at this point, I already knew that I had completely blown my prediction.
Well, I mean, there was, well, somewhat. There was still a possibility of Go World involvement. I mean, kind of there was at the end, but not the way you thought.
Yeah, not the way I thought. not in a way that I could even pretend that that I got a bit of this one right.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, it's also a good chance for our team to stay on Earth for a change and not go to another planet and have off-world adventures and all that. Like, no, this time the off-world is middle of nowhere. Where was that? Montana? No, I don't remember. Where was Billings?
Billings, Montana.
Yeah, maybe it was Montana. Could be.
Well, Billings is in Montana, so.
Yeah, so it probably makes sense. Yeah, so anyway, like, middle of nowhere, like. They say on Earth. I mean, it looks like all the other planets, but that's like...
Right? Yeah, the forest they go through looks really familiar.
Very familiar, yes. We'll
get to that in a second. The clearing that we see in one scene looks really familiar.
Really familiar, yeah. I think we've seen that before. Yeah, anyway, when we come back right to the restaurant. I noted it has way too much staff for a restaurant.
Right, yeah, it's a little diner.
Yeah, it's a tiny little diner, and it's like there's like four people walking around. The restaurant, by the way, is a real restaurant. It used to be. I have it here as the the New Cloverleaf Restaurant, how it's called in the show, is actually the New Cloverdale Chinese Restaurant at 574 176th Street in Cloverdale, Surrey. So, yeah. Of course, somewhere in the BC area, of course.
Of course.
Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know if it still is a Chinese restaurant, but as of when I looked at the website, it was still mentioned as that. Yeah. So we are at the restaurant. Jack is sitting there in his booth, and he's waiting. And then finally, the guy comes in. I love the way they introduced him. Like, it's not
so do
the usual thing where, like, usually you see the person walking it or whatever. No, like we see him like walk up to, and you see like we pan from his shoes slowly up to his face. It's like really funny, like how that is done.
Yeah, the reveal is fantastic.
Yeah,
and it fits. It's just perfect.
It's just perfect. And I mean, the guy, like, he's not a remarkable person in any sort. He's kind of the average Joe, really, right? Like, glasses and maybe a little bit awkward in social situations, whatever. Like, he's an ordinary person.
Well, the costumer for this episode did a fantastic job because they made his wardrobe as blandly unremarkable as it could possibly be.
Yes, yes, which I think is the point, but that's also like I said, I love that. Like, he's just the average person that you would not blink an eye if he was like in a restaurant somewhere in the middle of nowhere. Like, just he just fits in. So he apologizes for being late, and he's like, yeah, I thought I was followed, but don't worry, I managed to lose them.
Jack's like, yeah, good for you, sort of thing.
Yeah, and it works because, I mean, Jack, of course, knows that, like, they have set up, like, surveillance everywhere. It's like the team.
Yeah, of course they have.
So it's kind of, yeah, it's good that he lost them, but they're already there.
But, you know, but he didn't lose them because they were everywhere.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
You know,
or nowhere.
way to go, Martin.
Yeah, exactly. And the first thing he does is, like, he takes out the device and, like, oh, Jack, like, can you get up? I have to scan you for bugs. Which is also funny, given that the restaurant's literally bugged.
Right. Yeah, the whole thing is bugged. They even make sure we know
how
bugged it is.
Yeah, I think Teal'c, like, turns around this the diner check rotating thingy, like, that you've seen in other like,
Yeah, things. Teal'c is the short order cook.
Yeah, exactly. And he turns and you see literally a camera sitting in there in that like rotating thing. I'm just like, yeah.
Yeah, my assumption, because of the way it all plays out in my head canon, the staff that works there, they've all been taken somewhere else.
Yeah.
And every single employee, I'm doing air quotes, is
law enforcement of some sort. Yeah. Yeah. Or military or something. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking. So Carter and Daniel are in the van outside. And Daniel is like, I think he says something about like, oh, shouldn't we have donuts? I've never done one of those takeouts, which is a funny reference to Carter doing donut commercials for, what was it, Tim Hortons, I think?
I think that's right, because I remember you telling me all about that. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure
it
was.
I think I shared Hortons. The video even with you at some point. Like, there's a you video did. Out so there.
I've seen the commercial.
it's pretty funny. Yeah.
So, but yeah, his whole thing with, oh, I've never been in a stakeout before. Shouldn't we have donuts?
Yeah.
And the way she just turns and looks at him. Like, seriously?
Yeah.
You're going to do that?
But Carter, in the meantime, is going to do something useful because she's going to look for his driver's license and then look for more information. So if he, she's like, if he has a driver's license, then we'll know a lot more about him in a minute. Mm-hmm. Hey, good for you. So Martin, in the meantime, like, tells Jack that he knows about the Stargate. Jack deflects a little bit and says, sounds like a good idea for a TV show. If you're into that sort of thing.
Which I thought was really funny.
Yes.
You know, that self-deferential thing.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. Richard Dean Anderson plays lines like that just perfectly.
Yes, exactly. So that is really funny. Martin does have a slight point, right? Because he's like, well, I mean, if it wasn't true, why would you be here?
And, which, yeah.
Yeah. And Jack basically, he's like, look, there is a secret program, but it has nothing to do with aliens. It's about magnets. His favorite, magnets.
Magnets.
And that's, he can't say more. Like, he's already said too much, basically.
Yeah.
That was funny.
But Martin doubles down. And he's like, he's no. Like, No. Take me through the Stargate.
Yeah, he's like, I have to go through the Stargate. He doesn't know why or whatever, but he has to go. In the meantime, Teal'c is watching them from the kitchen. And it's really funny, like, he's wearing, like, this big hat and, like, it's hiding his, like, the Google symbol. Mm-hmm. So it looks really funny. Morgan has tons more like, conspiracy theories about CIA and military and blah, and Jack Stick says something, oh, and the lunar landing? Like, that was a hoax, right? And Marty's saying, no, that was a story created by the government to direct attention away from the cover, from the real cover-up. Everybody knows that.
And the delivery of that, everybody knows that.
Exactly.
Just wonderful.
But anyway, he says, anyway, one day I'm online and I find this conspiracy chat room and they're talking about something called the Stargate. Huh. So that information is somewhere out there, right? So someone has that word. And he's like, most of it was misinformation, but the word Stargate stuck in my head. It triggered what I later realized was a suppressed memory. You see Colonel O'Neill? The truth is I'm not just interested in outer space. I am from outer space.
And Jack's like, oh.
Exactly.
So, I think that's when he turns and goes, check, please.
Yeah, exactly. He does. He's like, okay, he's done. In the van, Carter, in the meantime, has found the driver's license. And she's like, well, a bunch of not so interesting things. But one thing, he was arrested for protesting outside the TV station because he said subliminal advertising was controlling his thoughts.
Like, bless his heart.
Kind of. Isn't that what advertising does?
Yeah. And now a word from our sponsor.
Exactly. So Jack doesn't believe him. Like, he's like, no, you look human. But Martin does know about the Goa'uld Wood, which is super interesting.
He doesn't know him by name.
Yeah, that's true. He can explain kind of what they are and so on. And he's like, and by the way, I can show you my ship. And that's the point where Jack is like, he's about to wrap it up. He's like, okay, this guy's no security risk, no like national security, anything. Like he's harmless. So he's like, okay, well, we'll just go. And then he gets the check comes, there's a message on it. It's like, okay, we found his house and like stall him basically.
Yeah.
So Jake is like, so, I mean, we should be thorough, right? So let's see that spaceship.
Yeah.
He does it very smooth. Like he was about to dismiss him and he already started. And then he's like, oh, yeah, but you know, we should be thorough. So let's have a look. So they go. And I wrote down, ah, yes, the BC Woods and a stream.
Mm-hmm.
It looks exactly. We've been there before. Looks like Chulak.
Yeah. Yes, we have walked past that stream with Teal'c and Braytac.
Mm-hmm.
I think more than once.
Yeah. And Martin's like, I know exactly where it is, only can't
he
find
can't
it.
Find it.
Yeah. But there's a good question. Like, why does Martin trust, like, he's paranoid. He doesn't trust government or whatever. Why does he trust Jack? And Martin is like, well, I can't explain it, Colonel. I just have a gut feeling like we have something in common. And I was wondering, like, what would that be? Because even after watching the entire episode, I still don't see what they have in common.
I can tell you what they have in common.
Okay.
Do you want it now or later?
Later.
Okay.
Yeah. So we go to the house, which is a private home. I have the address if someone is interested. It's just a private residence somewhere in the Surrey area. Oh, mm-hmm. Sorry, was it in the Billings area? Billings, I think, was the no, never mind. That's Montana. Where is it? There. Yeah, in Surrey. I got it right. It's on the 102nd Avenue in Surrey.
Yeah, just a nondescript.
Very normal looking, not remarkable, like,
house. Yeah, it's a little ranch house. It does not stand out in any way at all.
Exactly. Yes. But the inside does stand out. So when they go in, like, Carter, like, unlocks the door.
Lock picks. She uses lock picks.
Yeah.
Go, she's Carter.
Good. She, as I said, she can do anything. So there's a lot of like alien decoration, but not alien, like, oh, this is alien decorations. No, like all the alien random shit that you can find on Earth, like he has.
Yes.
There's even a something that looks like an Asgard. Might have been literally one of the puppets.
Oh my god, I bet it was. But Sam goes, well, you look familiar.
Exactly. I think Teal'c finds a toy gun and he's like, something like, this weapon is not effective or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just everything. And, oh, hello, a lot of pills in the cupboard. Like, for a lot of psychiatric problems.
Yeah, but so, like a lot of pill bottles.
Like the entire thing is just stacked and filled with like all random stuff. So, huh. Yeah, maybe he just is a crazy person. Or is he?
And yeah, or is he?
Or is he? So, in the woods in the meantime, Jack and Martin cannot find the spaceship. And Martin Wait, admits,
I think we missed something that was important.
Okay.
So they're going through the apartment or the mm-hmm. house, and we as the audience get to see that in one of the gray no, alien head
that,
busts.
That happens in the scene after.
At Jeff's least you're on consistent. Brand.
At least you're consistent. No, that literally happens in the next scene after that.
Okay.
I was like, where Sorry is he going? Like, what did I miss? I mean, sometimes I skip over things. So it's always possible. So I was like, okay, let's see. What did I miss? But nope, that is the next scene. Or the scene after the next one. Because the next one is in the woods. Like, Martin can't find the spaceship. And then he admits, he's like, well, you know, my memory isn't so good. Sometimes I get a little confused. I think it might be the medication. And Jack just has had it. He's like, okay, I'm done. Like, I just want to go home. He's like, Marty, listen to me. There's no spaceship. You're not an alien. And Marty kind of, he looks very disappointed. Like, he's not fighting. He's just disappointed. Like, nobody believes him. That kind of.
And this is just another case of no one believing him. Mm-hmm. And Jack's like, I'll give you a ride back to town, which is pretty nice because I'm sure Jack drove him out there. So don't leave him.
Exactly. I mean, it's probably not that far, but anyway. So back to the house. Daniel has found the diary, Marty's diary. A lot of just random paranoid stuff, like nothing.
Oh, yeah, the government took my comb for DNA. Yeah. 3 days later, found the comb behind the toaster or whatever.
Yeah, and it's like,
but I got rid of it just in case.
Exactly. then we get that what you mentioned, like in one of the like.
It's like an alien head bust.
Yeah, something like that. There's a little camera in there that is watching what the team is doing.
And we get to see the other side of that.
Yes.
And so we get this awesome shot of a very not flattering shot of Amanda tapping, coming up to the camera, but it's not at the right height for her face. So it's like it's shooting up her nose.
Yeah, it's really well done. Like it really looks like, yeah, there was a random camera. Yeah, we do a smooth transition. Like basically we see the camera in that bus and then we kind of switch to the view of that camera on like on a screen, like somewhere, and we zoom out. So we're in a warehouse and someone is watching them. And thus also seems to be watching Martin, right? Because why would they? And they also like do a here I had a problem. They did a magic thermal scan of Teal'c and saw the gold, and I'm like, yeah, bullshit.
Oh, that's
That's not how that would work. Sorry. Especially not a thermal scan. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, and the thermal scan, it looks like, I mean, it's an okay representation of a thermal scan, except for Junior.
Yeah.
Which is just completely white, meaning it is so hot.
Yeah, he should be
burning through Teal'c.
Yeah, yeah. It also looks like a fully grown, gold and not like a junior, right? Because the larva is really small usually. So it just looked nothing like a real thing at all. Like I said, that was a point where I was like, yeah, bullshit.
To me, it didn't look like a gold. It was like...
you couldn't recognize it.
So yeah. It's kind of a... It looks sort of like a fork and...
Maybe that was what it was.
Like one of those coil cable things that you put down a drain to unclog it.
Okay.
Like, what is Teal'c eating?
Mm. I mean, he is probably eating a lot of weird stuff, so you never know. Yeah. But one thing we learn in this is they know about the gold.
Mm-hmm.
So they clearly have some knowledge because, I mean, they knew what they were looking for. They knew what they were looking at. They recognized the gold. So they're like, okay. You know where we haven't been in a while?
Well, at this point, we haven't been back under Cheyenne Mountain for quite a while.
So we should go there. And since I mentioned Fraser being there, that's the time we get a little bit from her. It's not a lot, but it's actually, I like the scene. So Fraser had all the meds. Apparently, there must be a couple days later because... Or day later at minimum, because apparently they sent all the medications they found to, or like samples, I guess, to Fraser, and she had them all tested.
She had them tested at a lab in Montana.
Oh, yeah, true. So they sent them to a lab in Montana.
And then they sent the results to her.
But anyway, either way, it would have probably taken minimum, even if it was a rush job and high priority and whatever. Like, given the number of medications he had, it'd probably take at least a day to do any of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's like, yeah, I mean, most of it is pretty standard, but there's some anomalies. She's like, several unidentified chemicals were present. I believe that the drugs may have been tampered with. So maybe the drugs caused his delusions. Like, huh, well, interesting.
Better follow up on that.
Yes. And, you know, the person who... prescribed all those medications is probably a good point to talk, like to start with. So that's where we go. I think
it's Sam and Daniel.
Right. Yeah. They go
to do that.
we get the whole matter, like he's like, oh, you know, I can't talk about because doctor-patient confidentiality, blah, blah, blah. And we get the whole matter of national security trope that we always get.
And then like, oh, well, then, okay, we'll talk about it.
Which... No, he's not. He's kind of dismissive. He's like, yeah, but like, why would you care? Like, he's not that important.
Yeah, okay, so I forgot that little part.
Yeah, he's very dismissive. Like, Martin is like, whatever. But then he says, well, let's put it this way. People like Martin sometimes compensate for their feelings of insignificance by creating elaborate fantasies in which they are the center and focus of all attention. These people are usually harmless, although they may try and draw others into their illusions. That's what happened here. So again, dismissive. Dismissive. He's like dismissing the whole thing, dismissing them. Why are they even there? Just go home, basically.
I had completely forgotten how that scene played out.
Yeah. Because we get a second scene later, right?
So because we get a second scene later. Yeah. So I guess at least I'm still on brand.
Yes, you are. Yeah. Now we go to a very important place. And the beginning of the scene is what I wanted to talk to you about.
And that reference. And that's what I had forgotten about. But then as we were talking, I remembered they're watching The Day the Earth Stood Still on the hotel, on the motel TV.
Yeah. Jack is watching The Day the Earth Stood Still and he's humming the theme tune.
Oh, no, that I totally missed.
Yeah, you can hear, and I was like, what is he humming? And I looked it up, and it's literally like the theme tune, like from that movie.
Ah, okay.
So, yeah, because they were.
I was more focused on all the Teal'c stuff.
Oh, yeah. Teal'c needs quarters for the massage function. He's like, and he's that smile that he has, like, he just enjoys that.
The way they did that whole thing where Jack is sitting at the chair, mm-hmm. so the camera is at Jack's head height.
Yeah, I think he's not sitting on a chair. He's sitting at the edge of the bed, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there's like a twin. There's a twin bed in there.
Oh, that's right. There's two beds.
Yeah, yeah, it's a twin bed.
Set up. Okay.
And, like,
yeah.
And he's on one, and he's sitting and watching TV, and Murray Teal'c is lying on the bed and has the massage function enabled and all of that.
I just love though how with the camera angle, you have Christopher Judge walk up next to Richard Dean Anderson, and he just sticks his hand out, and without just blinking or anything,
or any conversation, like he just
Richard Dean Anderson picks up, or he has like a handful of coins and drops him into Christopher Judge's hand,
jacket pocket or something. He just grabs them and gives it to him. It's like
doesn't even look.
No, and Teal'c doesn't say anything. He just walks back, lays back on his bed, and like. Turns the massage function on again.
And the smile on his face when he lays back. Very oh my happy. God. It is. I love that scene.
Yeah. But who shows up? Martin. Teal'c has to put on the hat real quick, like before he can, like before Jack can open the door.
Right.
So he comes in and he's like, oh, like I want to talk to you. Who is that guy? So Jack has to introduce him. And Jack is like, well, this is my friend. Murray. Yeah, this is where we get the name. Martin, of course, is like, hey, like, don't you want to know how I even found you? And Jack's like, no, it's not that important. And Martin's like, yeah, well, in your car, I noticed a map of the Sleep Right motel chain. I checked everyone in town. Jack's like, well, there's two.
There's two.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, you're not very good at this like secret agent whatever thing. And Jack is like, I wasn't even hiding. Like, I was like, we're not here. Yeah. We're not here in secret. Like,
yeah. I love how Martin is so focused on Cloak and Dagger.
Yeah,
and Jack's like there's no. Everyone knows we're here.
Exactly. It's not even a secret. Yeah. And then Martin shows him a toothpick.
And Jack goes, it's all clear to me now, or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah. So turns out Martin put the toothpick against the inside of his front entrance door. And then he'd like, and Jack is like, so then how you get in and out? And he's like, yeah, through like, why would I go through in through the door? I go through the window. And then Jack is like,
right, well, like this is the most obvious thing ever, you yeah. idiot.
Exactly. And then Jack is like, yeah, but so what if someone else goes through the window? And he's like, yeah, I put a hair there and like all of that. Like he has this elaborate system of like ensuring. But long story short, someone was in his house. And well, we know who. But of course, Jack doesn't say so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the gist of it is, he wants to go home. Like he asks again, like to go through the Stargate. We'll get to that in a second. But first, we go back to our psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. So, Carter and Daniel are asking questions about the medications because it's a lot. And they're starting like some uncomfortable questions. At this point, this Dr. Tanner, the psychiatrist, is like, well, the interview is over. He's like, mm-hmm. all of a sudden, not so interested anymore to talk to them. and Carter doesn't, like, I love Carter in this situation. Like, she does not give up. She's like, she's not like, oh, okay, well, we'll go, whatever. She's like, no. She mentions the chemicals they found. And he's like, well, and he has like some excuse. He's like, well, it's I only prescribe them. I don't make them. It's like,
yeah.
But Carter is being very forceful. So I think he realizes he has to give her something. She will just keep asking. So he's like, well, and he goes to his drawer, like where the patient files are. And he's like, well, I mean, I can give you his work address. So he does.
So they've got something.
Yeah.
That's a start. Or at least a setup for more shenanigans in the episode.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So we go to the hotel room again, or the motel room. Martin is spiraling at this point. Like he's literally like he's losing it. You can tell. And Jeff is like, no, Jack is like, he's like, I think he's trying to calm him down a little bit, and then he's like, look, if, and I stress the word if, there's such a thing, what makes you think your way home is through this Stargate? And Martin explains, he's like, yeah, I get those ideas. I get flashes. I get feelings. He's like, something important. I have something important to do there. And he can't really specify it any further. And he's like, he's clearly losing it. So he pulls out some medications. And Jack does a very smart thing. He's like, yeah, maybe you shouldn't take them.
Yeah, let me see those. And
Yeah.
Time to lay off for a little while.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, it's probably better to not if you don't take them. And then Martin does, and this is the point where I think, I mean, up until here, you could still believe, okay, maybe he is really a crazy conspiracy theorist.
Mm-hmm.
But then he pulls out a piece of paper and is like, yeah, I've seen those seven symbols. And he hands the paper to Jack, and he looks at it, and it's a Stargate
address. It's a Stargate address.
Yeah, with Earth as the starting point. Starting point.
So
not crazy.
Yeah.
Probably not crazy.
And I love the side-eye look that Jack and Teal'c give each mm-hmm. other.
Yeah.
When they realize, oh, shit, we're holding a gate address.
Yeah. Yeah, they know what it is. But I mean, of course, they don't tell them that. Yeah. So, I mean, as I said, with the stuff going on in the warehouse already, where we saw the camera or whatever, I mean, they could have been like secret, like other government agents or whatever watching him. But I think this, for at least for me, would be the point where I'm like, yeah, he knows a little bit too much.
Yeah. Yeah, where would you possibly get a gate address?
Yeah, and it's not an obvious gate address. I think it's like some random, but Earth is origin. So, So we go back, we go to the same warehouse that we've seen earlier.
So many times.
So, well, that also, but also earlier in the episode we saw it, because that's where the guys with the cameras were. Carter and Daniel are there. It's empty. And they're like, this doesn't look like a workplace.
Well, yeah.
Turns out
it's not a workplace.
It's a good place for an ambush, though, because there's three people mm-hmm. with guns.
Yeah, and the line for the reveal for that, mm-hmm. Daniel was like, well, there's no one else here. And then Sam, she's facing the other direction, so she sees the people who've come in, and she says, well, except for the guys with guns.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Back at the hotel, Martin is complaining about Deck taking away his medications, and he's like, this is totally unfair. Just because I'm from another planet, I don't have rights. I mean, doesn't the Geneva Convention protect extraterrestrials? And he's like, I have to remember to go online and look that up. Yeah, that's the type of person he is. Like, he would literally go and like research that.
Yeah, and I wonder how many people did.
Yeah.
Go and look that up.
Oh, probably, yeah. I think spoiler alert is probably not covered. Nobody thought about aliens back then.
Right.
Jack is trying to reach Carter, but he can't, and he's like, they should have checked in by now. So he's like, that's weird. But he wants to talk about the symbols. And Martin is like, well, I have an implant. But nobody can see it. The secret government.
It doesn't show up on regular x-rays.
Yeah, it doesn't show up. Nobody can see it. So, yeah, okay. Jack is like, okay, I'll go look for Carter and Daniel. Until you stay with Martin and don't give him the medications. So Teal'c is staring at him, like, in his quiet...
In his Teal'c
way. And Martin is like, okay. So at the warehouse, Carter and Daniel have been, like, they're sitting on chairs, they've been bound, and they're getting asked questions, like, who are you, all of that. One of the guys mentions Martin Lloyd, and Carter plays dumb. She's like, I don't know who that is.
Mm-hmm.
But they know that they were searching the house. Well, okay, we know why, because they had the cameras.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the psychiatrist's office, Jack goes there, and it's empty all of a sudden. I'm like, how freaking fast did they empty an entire office? Like, I mean, that must have been literally a couple hours at best.
Yeah, and I mean, it was full of stuff, books,
yeah.
And...
Yeah, did they rush in with, like, a crew of 100 people and just clear it out? Like, how does that happen?
Yeah, I don't know, but yeah, it was fast.
That was a little bit, it was definitely very fast. Maybe they have some alien technology that just shrinks everything, who knows?
That could be. Oh, they know Ant-Man.
They know Ant-Man. Yeah, maybe they are. Maybe they are Ant-Man. Who knows? So, yeah, that's weird. So, back to the motel. Teal'c is sitting on his bed. He's reading some magazine. And apparently he's banished Martin to the bathroom.
Like the whole this whole thing back and forth between Teal'c and and Marty.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That was funny.
Is really funny.
Like, can I come out now?
No. Okay, maybe I'll just stay in here.
Yeah. So Jack
comes. I promise not to try and fight you again.
To bite you. So apparently he bit Teal'c, or tried to at least. I mean, he probably didn't, because like Teal'c was way too strong for that. He would just hold him away.
You're right.
Yeah. So Jack is back and whatever. And then we hear all of a sudden you hear like a thump from the bathroom and like, Marty collapsed. And Teal'c is like, in hindsight, we should have given him his medication, O'Neill.
Which Christopher Judge is so good at comedy.
Yeah, that like deadpan like delivery. Yeah.
He's just fantastic. Yeah.
So but fortunately Marty is fine and he comes back to like consciousness and he's like, oh, I remember where I left the spaceship.
And maybe the drugs he's taking were the problem.
Were the problem, yeah. I mean, I think at this point, it's pretty strong, like, hints at that. So back at the warehouse, the guys are showing them a picture of Teal'c. and one of them says, "We also know that he's not from around here." And Daniel says, "Not from Montana."
Daniel's doing a great job of
playing dumb.
Of playing dumb, yeah. Giving them just enough information to make it sound like he's providing them information.
Yeah.
But then without it's all worthless. It's like, he's not from Montana?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Meanwhile, Marty is leading them somewhere in the forest. Jack still doesn't believe that he's leading them to a spaceship. I mean, you remember the whole goose chase he did earlier, so kind of can understand it. But hey, Marty found the clearing all of it, like, finally. He's like, oh, this is where it is.
Finally. So, I remember now. I should have turned left instead of right.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, of course. And he's like, this is it. I told you. This is the clearing. The ship is around here somewhere. But remember, it's buried. So keep your eyes open and watch your step. And he literally stumbles on it.
Another great camera angle, because he falls and we don't actually watch him like full frame fall. Yeah. He falls out of frame and then his legs come up and it's just his feet up in the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It was. Yeah. So turns out he's not crazy. And there's a fun detail in this scene. He had a blade of grass on his head.
I loved the blade of grass on his head. I'm sure someone was like, hold on, this is going to be great.
Yeah, they put it perfectly up there.
So my guess is that, and I'm totally just pulling this out of my butt. He does the fall. He stands up the first time and grass falls off his head. And someone's like, holy crap, we have to use that.
Yeah, exactly. So they drape it on top of his head to make sure, because it is perfectly placed.
Yeah,
that was good. So
there's so many great little details in this episode.
A little bit later, I guess, we just cut to the same clearing, but now there's tons of government people in hazmat suits and whatever. And there's a little detail I want to mention here. You can hear a helicopter in the background. There was a production note from the network. They wanted to see the helicopter. They're like, hey, can we see the helicopter? And showrunner Brad Wright wrote back and he's like, no, we can't see the helicopter because it just doesn't exist. All we have is the sound. It was literally they just edited the sound and they did not have a helicopter there.
Oh my God, that's funny.
Yeah. So yeah, that was a little production thing.
Well,
that
it worked because I believed there was a helicopter flying around the area.
Usually is enough. Like, it's also way cheaper. But apparently, the network thought they had actually had a helicopter around there, and they just thought, hey, it would be good to see it. Like, you know, helicopters are cool.
If it was there, sure.
Yeah, but he's like, nope, all we have is the sound. Wait a second, I jumped there. They've definitely determined it's not terrestrial, so it's not a whatever helicopter that crashed there or something. It's literally a spaceship. They have an animation. And then Marty is like, no, this is wrong. This is too small. This is not our spaceship. And then I think Jack is or something is like, oh, maybe it's just an escape pod. And Marty's like, oh, yeah, that's it. There must be some kind of, there must have been some kind of malfunction. And then we abandoned the ship and came down in the pod.
So what I like about what's going on through all of this is we keep getting all of these things that point to this guy's legit.
Yes.
But at the same time,
he only remembers bits and pieces.
He remembers bits and pieces. And when other people say, well, maybe it's this thing. Oh yeah, that's it. Okay. So if you're in a state of mind where you're creating this whole fantasy world, and someone offers up a suggestion for what would exactly fit with your fantasy world, you'd be like,
he would do it that exactly. Be like, oh yeah, yeah, that's exactly what happened. Yeah, so like you can see how someone would just think he's like conspiracy nut, but in this case, it's actually true. Sometimes the conspiracy is actually reality, and you just don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a little hint in what he said, because he said, we abandoned the ship. And Jack is like, yes. We? How many? And I think he says, like, one of the technicians or someone says, like, it's like, oh, based on this, the size of the craft, like 4 or 5, maybe. And so they're like, oh, maybe the others were watching him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tilk is like, if that is the case, then these others may indeed be responsible for the disappearance of Daniel Jackson and Major Carter. Well, and he is
excellent,
right.
Excellent deductive reasoning, Tilk.
Very good, Tilk. Sherlock Tilk. Could be.
Sherlock Tilk. My brain just broke for a second with that, but I love it.
Yeah. So, we go back to the warehouse, and we're still on the topic of Tilk, apparently, because the other man says, so you're telling me this man is an ordinary technical sergeant? And they're like, yeah, I mean, kind of, he's quite extraordinary.
Well, he's not ordinary.
Yeah, and so then he's like, so what is his area of expertise? And Carter's like, speechwriter.
Just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. Given how Tilk talks in a very stilted, old-timey English almost, yeah, kind of, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay. So so they're like, they show them the picture that they took of the fake thermal imaging. And they're like, so what about that? And Daniel, as you said earlier, he's like, That's a duck, isn't it? And they just groan, and then they leave, because they're like, okay, we're not getting anywhere with these.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, back in the clearing in the forest, Marty's like memory is getting better and better. He's remembering more. And he's like, well, and we get some exposition. Like, he's like, oh, okay, our homeworld was under attack. We were sent to find allies. And then we realized you weren't advanced enough to help us. The enemy was too powerful. They wanted us to make slaves. They wanted us to worship them like gods. And Tilk and Jack look at each other and like, gold.
Yeah.
And Marty's like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's their names. That's what they were called. As before, like, oh, yeah, yeah, sure, exactly.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, but then Jack asked Tilk to like show, like take off the cap and like show us the gold emblem. But then someone else comes in and he quickly hides it again. So apparently not everybody like around there, like they apparently are fine with an alien spaceship, but they don't know about Tilk.
Well, you know.
Interesting.
I guess.
They're not right in to Stargate program, I guess, so they can't know. And then Marty drops something important. He's like, well, the pod has remote sensors.
So, I believe, oh no, never mind. I've got things out of order.
Yeah. So this is the point where they're going to set the trap.
Yeah. But I thought we missed the thing where the other guys mm-hmm. got an alert that
that's coming,
and that's why they left. But okay, so
that's exactly
once again.
Now. Yeah. So the pod has remote sensors. So Jack is like, you know, we can use that to our advantage because they will come to us. So they will use those sensors to lure them out. It might have been that actually very likely even that the alert went out the second they showed up at the ship, because that's what the remote sensors would do, right?
That's what they would do.
We only get it now because we're back at the warehouse and they're still speculating. I think Carter is speculating that they're NID.
Yeah, she's asking him, are you NID, CIA, who are you?
Yeah, because I mean, they seem to know a hell of a lot about gold and shit. So that would, I mean, NID would have been my first choice for this as well. But then the psychiatrist shows up. So now we have four of them, and we know it was five at max. So that seems to be all of them. And the psychiatrist takes stuff out of his whatever suitcase. No, not suitcase.
His little doctor's bag. It's an old time doctor's bag.
Yeah, exactly. And he's basically ready to torture them. But hey, saved by the device because the remote sensor thingy beeps. And they're like, the experiment has been discovered. I'm like, what experiment? It's never explained what that meant.
But they leave. And Daniel's like, okay, we'll just wait here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So back at the clearing, Marty is there. And he's kind of nervous. And he's talking into his, like, he has the mic apparently on his lapel somewhere. And he's talking into it. And Jack says, like, oh, don't do that. And the four of them show up. And Marty's like, I'm not crazy, and you're not a psychiatrist. And he's like, you see this? And he points at the ship. This is what brought us here. I remember now. So they're like, okay, they're taking Marty back. And the psychiatrist guy, he has like a remote, and he presses the button, and the ship starts pulsing somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a good way.
So that's a bad sign.
Yes.
Yeah, my assumption at this point is he just started a self-destruct sequence.
Yes, that's also exactly what happens. So they go back to their van, and Marty is like very smart. He's like, he gives the, like, I mean, he knows Jack is listening, and he gives them, I guess the plan was that like Marty would go with them, and he would like, they would take him back to where Carter and Daniel are. So Marty gives them a hint about the color of the van.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, kind of obvious, kind of subtle way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what color is this? Is this a greenish gray? I really like this color.
Yeah, exactly. They drive around and the other team, Jack is tracking them. Marty, I think, asked the question, like, are they going to kill him? And are they going to kill Carter and Daniel? And he's like, this isn't right. I know you. I know all of you. We were on this ship together. We're soldiers, not murderers. That's why you drugged me.
There's your link to Jack.
Yes.
We have something in common. They're both soldiers.
They're all both soldiers. Yeah, Marty didn't like, I didn't think he would be a soldier, but yeah, okay. You never know. He's like, that's why you drugged me in the first place. It's not too late. Our people are at war. They need us. But the others don't want to leave. They don't want to go back.
Yeah, they talk about how going back would have, had they gone back, they would have died.
Yeah.
And they don't want to go back now.
Yeah. And we see, I think, on the map that the van stopped at the warehouse. So they've tracked them back to where the warehouse is. So SGC and all the soldiers that Jack organized show up, literally to like go in. And they go in. Like, I think he orders the soldiers to kind of surround the compound and the warehouse and make sure nobody can leave. But only, I think that's smart. Only Jack and Teal go in, because yeah, if there's aliens, you kind of, apparently the others aren't read in, so you don't want them to see that.
Yeah,
but make sure nobody leaves, basically. So Carter and Daniel are there, and so is the van. And I think, Jack and Teal'c free Carter and Daniel. And then they open the van, and in there is Marty bound and gagged. So where did the others go?
There's no one else around.
There's nobody else around. Like, how did they even leave? So where did they go? They don't know. But Marty stole the remote. Smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so he activates it, and it's like, oh, shit. It's a countdown of some sort. So it's a pretty funny scene. They're like, they're running out, they're rushing out, they're thinking, okay, the warehouse is about to explode. Literally, like, we get that, you know, that jumping out when the warehouse explodes, just there is no explosion.
Yep. And they're all just laying there on the ground below a loading dock.
Yeah.
And Jack's like, Marty?
Yeah. And Marty's like, I'm sure it was a countdown for detonation. But nothing happened. It's like, so what was it for? And then we see like a shot of where the clearing where the ship was. There's a massive mm-hmm. underground explosion. Like, okay, clearly the ship blew up, basically.
Yeah.
Good thing nobody else was there because they had cleared out the area before.
Which is crazy.
Yes.
You have alien technology artifacts.
Yeah.
And you just leave no one would have left that area.
Yeah.
At
but,
all.
But good thing they didn't. I mean, they cleared it out, but I would have expected when once they left, the soldiers would come back in. But I guess they just established a perimeter and like stayed out of it. I guess. Yeah. Or they were all at the warehouse. Could also be. Maybe that's all the soldiers they had.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, it was weird seeing that yes. there was no one there.
Yeah. Yeah, and with that, we kind of jump a little bit forward in time because we go back to, and I like this, like we're done in Montana, right? Ship is destroyed, Marty is fine, the aliens, who knows where they are. But Marty still wants to go home, so let's go home. So Marty's there, the gate is dialing, and he's going home. And he's like, he sees the gate and he's like, oh, it's just like I remembered. And they send a mulp through. And Marty's like, I remember everything now. There was no malfunction, like, of the ship, right? When we abandoned the ship, we did it deliberately. We were losing the war. We were deserters. Well, that kind of sounds more like him. And after a while, I realized that we'd done wrong. I wanted to go home, but the others were afraid. They're not bad guys. They're just hiding. Which, I mean, they're not bad guys. But they're also the things they've done to him and to Carter and so on. I'm like, there were some lines that were crossed.
Well, desperation can push people to do things that they wouldn't otherwise do.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, but as I said, I'm not so sure.
They're not saints.
They're definitely not saints, yeah. So I think Carter comes out from, or is it Teal'c? I don't remember. So, or Daniel? No, Daniel, I think. Comes and he's like, okay, like the Malp says they can go, it's safe, but there's bad news.
And I think, it's Sam that says that. Oh, is it that. Sam?
Yeah. I mean, I could predict what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I don't know if it was because I had seen it or just, I mean, it was kind of obvious. Bad
yeah,
news.
Well,
they were losing the war. Bad news.
Yeah, yeah. Bad news.
So they go, like, Jack, Marty, and Teal'c go through. And we get a nice planet. Nicely done.
Yeah, nicely done.
The little we see, I mean, we see barely anything, but it's nicely done. There's a Stargate, there's some destroyed buildings, there's a lot of destruction in general.
You can even see the tatters of a flag on a flagpole mm-hmm. fluttering in the wind.
Yeah, so very well done. I don't know how they did that, whether it was a real set or CGI, I don't know, green screen, something, but it was really well done. I couldn't tell.
Yeah, it was very well done.
Yeah, maybe it was an existing set for something else they just reused, or who knows. So, yeah, everything is destroyed. And Marty is like, they were right. If we'd gone back, we'd be dead now. Right. I wanted to mention something here because there was another note that was suggested from the powers at production. When the script was being developed, there was a note that suggested that Marty should have some alien quality in the final scene. And they suggested that he would wiggle his ears in an otherworldly manner.
Oh, I'm glad that didn't happen.
Yeah, they didn't feel like that was right, so they cut it out or didn't really follow the advice. So, yeah, I also believe that was the right choice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
there's a bit that we missed before they went through the Stargate to Marty's dead planet.
Okay.
And that's where Marty asked Jack if they're going to hunt down.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, I skipped over that.
Yeah, the other soldiers and what's going to happen with them.
Yeah,
and Jack's like, we're not going to find them.
Yeah, exactly. He knows that they're too good, like, and they have alien technology and knowledge probably that, yeah, we're not going to find them. They disappeared also way too quickly and easily. Like, they have some, like some skills up their sleeves.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they will look for them, but I think not a lot of chance that they will get found.
Yeah.
They're also not very remarkable, like, to be honest. They're average people. They're not super soldiers or anything. Yeah, which I think is a good casting choice. Like, all of them are kind of average, normal people you would not... You couldn't pick out of a crowd.
Yeah, in many cases, soldiers that you might have when... the war has not been going in your favor.
Yeah. And you're literally grasping at straws and, like, everybody has to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the final thing is, like, I think it's a Jack who asks, okay, what now?
And it's Marty asks, what now?
Yeah. And Jack is like, we go home.
Yep.
Yeah. And so they do. The end. Fade to black. So yep. Marty also goes home. Because this is his new home now.
Because Earth's his new home.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the episode. So
this was a huge step up from last week. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, kind of like this story. Like, I don't know. It's, I mean, yes, seen it before, right? There's been many instances of similar stories like that. Oh, like alien hides on Earth and whatever. Like, gets found out and really was fleeing from a worse place. Like, I've seen this before.
Yeah.
But it's still a good story.
The title makes sense now.
Yes.
At the very end of the episode, the title is very clear. Mm-hmm. Because Marty is at the point of no return. He cannot return home.
Exactly. He absolutely cannot return home. Yeah. So what are your thoughts about this episode?
This was a much more enjoyable and much more engaging episode compared to last week. Mm-hmm. We're buried and trying to do the same episode as Star Trek Voyager.
yes. Yeah, I mean, we did the same episode as probably also Star Trek Voyager. I'm pretty sure this episode has been done before.
Yeah. So, the characters that we have mm-hmm. in this episode, especially the Marty character, they're fun, compelling, interesting characters. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's some problems with this story.
Yeah,
like some of the timing just doesn't work, and like the thermal camera. Yeah. But the fact that go ahead.
I wanted to say that the other four. Except for Dr. Tanner, the psychiatrist, are very, I mean, unremarkable, which I think is on purpose. I mean, they don't even get names. Actually, that's not true. I think they get names somehow, but barely. Like, the names are not important. The persons, people are, they want to blend in. They want to hide. They don't want to get noticed.
So they want to be nobody.
They want to be nobody, so they are nobody. And like, I think that's on purpose. That was a choice, not a bad script or something.
I agree. Yep. Yeah. I love how they let Marty's conspiracy theory angles mm-hmm. play through all the way up until all the way up until Marty is in Stargate Command. There's still little bits of conspiracy theory type things mm-hmm. that are popping up in his actions.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. I mean, less and less. Like, as he, I think until he discovers the ship, there's still a lot of that, and then it kind of starts to, like, ebb.
Mm-hmm. But he's still just like a total dork. Yeah, the way he's
is. Yes.
Turning his head to talk into his collar. Jack's telling him, be natural. Just don't do that. Oh, you just have back to his collar. Yeah, it's easy for you to say with all your experience.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's adorable. He's also like the least threatening person you could see. Like, he's just Like, he's just a cute dork. Like,
he is. Just and like... it's much easier to believe up until we hit the evidence it cannot be debunked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That he's just a disturbed person mm-hmm. with all these conspiracy theories in yeah. his fantasy world.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that was the point of an episode, right? To yeah. to say, I mean, yes, there is a ton of crazy people and a lot of conspiracy theories out there. But what if one of them is true?
Yeah. And I liked that whole bit of the story as well.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the humor in this.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the humor is really well done.
Yeah, very subtle, but very well done.
Yep. And everyone just nailed their part in this.
Yeah. Teal'c got to do more than, I mean, it wasn't a lot, but he got to do more than usual.
Yeah, he didn't have a lot of lines.
Yeah.
But he did a lot more of than
subtle
usual.
Lot of subtle comedy, which I loved.
Yeah, and like I said, Christopher Judge is so good at the comedy
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, yeah, he absolutely is.
Yeah.
The silent hero.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, how about you?
Yeah, it's just an enjoyable ride. Like, I mean, I also know a little bit. I mean, I knew the story. I remember this episode. I knew the story. I also know what happens later and what comes out of it. And I'm like, yeah, it was, I mean, it was an interesting play with the whole, I mean, one, the conspiracy theories in general, but also the Stargate ones that were out there at this point. And, mm-hmm. and like being like, okay, yeah, like they're playing with that a little bit and saying, look, maybe it's true. Maybe this is just a TV show, like, or maybe you're right. Right?
Maybe it is a cover-up.
Exactly. Yeah, or maybe it's just distracting from the real cover-ups. You never know.
Right? Like the moon landings.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I just thought it was a fun time. We spent very little time in SGC, which I appreciated because we've spent a lot of time there recently. Mm-hmm. So yeah. We're finally in Earth somewhere, but we're also not just in Colorado like we've been before. We're going somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, I mean, even if all of it looks like BC.
Yeah, but the story is somewhere else.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, and thank you for addressing, without even realizing you're doing it, addressing my concern about this episode, which is that they did this great setup,
mm-hmm.
and we have four deserter soldiers mm-hmm. that are out there somewhere. We've and established Marty. We'll probably never find them, but yeah. we also have Marty, and yeah. Marty is such a great character.
Yeah, and what is he going to do with the knowledge he has now?
Right, and and does he get to go back out into society, or mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. they know that he's from another planet, does he have to be,
yeah.
like, is he going to be like someone that's kept a prisoner? Is he going yeah. to be put to work for Stargate Command or
yeah.
some other agency, yeah. or I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's just so much potential with mm-hmm. this character.
Mm-hmm.
I was afraid that you're going to tell me, and we never see him again.
Yeah.
Because that would be a travesty. It's such a fun character.
I rarely tell you things that happen in the future, but in this case, I will tell you because you're so passionate about that. We will see him again. I'm not telling you what happens, but we will see him again.
That makes me very happy to know. And
yeah, but I think I also told you that, I think I already told you that in the chat. We will have to wait a while for that.
Yeah. So yeah.
There's also there's something in this episode that I'm not telling you about, but I will in about, well, what is it? 20 episodes tell you about, because
okay.
right in the middle of next season, there is an episode where something that is said here becomes important.
Another thing I love about this show, they can take a little yeah. thing, a potential throwaway mm-hmm. thing, and yeah. make it important down the road.
Yeah, Yeah, and exactly that. And I usually, you know, you usually don't mention it because usually I'm like, yeah, it's quite natural that like shows will build on stuff that happened before and have like other episodes that then build on that. But in this case, it is significant. That's why, because it's quite funny. So I kind of wanted to mention it. But instead, you will have to wait. You will have to wait until the 100th episode of Stargate to see what it was and why.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a big wait. But yeah, on the other hand,
it will go fast.
There's
so much still coming.
Yeah.
By the way, I wanted to mention your predictions because we talked briefly about
Yes.
Yeah. So you had said it's maybe a Gould episode, not really, right?
No. Nope.
Get mentioned, but that's about it. We're seeing a consolidation of the different factions, also fractions. Mm-hmm. Nope. And the game is changed fundamentally for SGC and Earth's allies.
No.
It has no significant, at least as far as we know, no significant impact what just happened. The ship is destroyed, so there's no new technology. Yeah.
I was so completely wrong with my predictions.
Yes. I mean, that means we should probably do the Chevron ratings for this one. So like after the disappointing, what was it? A 3, I think, last week.
I gave last week a 3.
Yes. And me too, right? I remember. So
yes,
so,
I ended up talking you down without meaning to.
Yeah. So can I talk you up this time?
Well, no, you can't.
Okay.
Because my rating for this episode, it would have been incredibly difficult for you to change my mind on this one. To me, the Chevron rating this one gets, it's a very solid rating. Mm-hmm. It's not one that I have to really think about.
Yeah.
And this one's a 7.
Ooh.
I loved that that much.
That is surprising to me because I thought it would be a solid 6 for you. That was my feeling. It was a solid 7. That's cool because then we agree. Like the whole nerdy thing with Marty and this the banter with Jack and with Murray Carter and Daniel don't get to do too much. Actually, Carter is better than Daniel in this one, because she is with the psychiatrist, especially very forceful. Also later, she takes charge of the situation. Like Daniel's kind of goofing off the entire time. Like she is on it the entire time.
She is. Yep.
Yeah. So I love that with her. She gets to show like different side of her skills. So yeah, like breaking and entering, finding out information, distracting people that kidnapped you, all of that. Like she's getting information from them, like even if they don't want to. Like she's good. So yeah, I'm with you on this one. It's a solid 7.
It's
surprising for a one-off episode. Like it's not a big character, big plot arc or something like that. It's kind of a alien of the week, you could say.
Well, this could have been a one-off episode. My guess is that they decided to bring Marty back later on because of the popularity.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. From what I remember, that's exactly what happened at the end. That's also why it took till later, sometime next season, I think. Because
it
takes time.
Yeah.
This season is already, I mean, halfway through already, and I'm pretty sure most of it is already written at this point. If not all,
that's
of
a safe bet. Yeah. But a big part of my rating comes down to Marty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's also a great like casting choice, I have to say. By the way,
absolutely.
I read somewhere, but I could not confirm it, so I didn't mention it. But I read somewhere that this was a one and done. Like they didn't cast and they didn't even like audition anybody else. They
knew who they wanted.
They wanted him. They auditioned him and they took him, and it was like there was nobody else, which kind of makes sense.
He was fantastic.
Yeah. All right. So I think the last thing then we should talk about is, well, the second to last thing because we have to talk about where people can find you as well. But first, we should talk about the next episode, which has the, I don't know, mathematical title of tangent. Could be philosophical, could be mathematical. What do you think it is? Tangent.
Tangent. Okay. SG-1, they have a mission they're supposed to do on whatever planet. And they get there and they find out that there's actually something more important that they need to do, which is not their core mission. And so they have to deal with this other thing, which becomes actually the bigger issue. And this one, I do not think is a good episode.
Okay. After predicting one and not getting it, now you're saying you're not getting one this time. So interesting. We'll see if that's true or not. Yeah. I mean, of course, I know what the next episode is about, but I'm not telling.
That's perfect. And I'm betting you can't tell me the German episode title.
I did not look it up, but I would almost bet that it is, again, a massive spoiler. Let's have a quick look if it's...
Did you tell me the German episode title for this one? I don't remember now.
Oh, no, I did not. Give me a second. Yeah, nope, spoilers. So, for this episode, it was... See, I forgot that in this, that's true. It was Kein Zurück, No Going Back.
Okay, so...
Yeah. Given that and Point of No Return, you might have guessed a little bit more than just with Point of No Return.
I agree.
Yeah, so that's why I didn't give it to you. You know, I usually only give it to you if it's like, okay, this doesn't give you any extra information. Yeah,
but I'm sure the German title for Tangent, it would change my prediction.
When you hear it, massively, yes, massively, you would have had a completely different prediction. It's a German title.
I can't wait to see if I get anything in it right.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Good. So I think we should go back to our respective couches and go watch Tangent. But before we do that, we should let people know where they can find more about you and about us, how they can reach out to us.
I think that sounds like a great idea. Okay, so for me, Jay Gamet on the various social media platforms, mostly though on Mastodon and Pixelfed and Blue Sky. And as usual, I will pick two shows. So I'm going to pick Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live and The Mac Show on the British Tech Network.
Yeah, both very good shows.
Where can we find you?
Well, me, you can find also on the British Tech Network with you, Big Show, Mac Show, every week. Talk about tech things, whatever's going on. Not aliens, usually. I mean, who knows? Maybe that will change. So far, at least, I don't think we've talked about aliens, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we have talked about conspiracy theories that are true and nobody noticed. Who knows?
We have talked about aliens in the sense of why have we not contacted by any? Why have we found any?
Yeah, and we did some TV show, like Summer Fun episodes that's also alien related. Where we talked, I think, about Battlestar Galactica at least once, for example.
Yes, we did.
Yes. So, yeah, British Tech Network, everything I'm doing, all the social media links, podcasts, projects, cool things, everything on my website, thepatrice.com, will take you there. And you can also reach out to us, like both of us, if you have opinions about this episode. What did you like? What did you not like? What do you want to see from Marty next time? Maybe some hints of what you would like to have, like, as a new next episode for this. Stories, I don't know, if you don't know what's coming. I mean, if you know, then, okay, it's kind of boring. But if you have, like, you've never watched it, you're watching it with us and you have predictions, hey, yeah. Send us a message or an email to hello@retrorewatch.com. You can also use Mastodon. It's @retrorewatch @techhangout.social. or bluesky@retrorewatch.com, which is also our website. So very easy to reach out to us. And yeah, we hope that you enjoyed this episode, and we'll go on a tangent with you next time. See you then.